It's incredible to me how sometimes one line of scripture can summarize not just the whole day, but the whole season that you're in. Today, the psalmist cried out, "Let the Lord enter. He is the King of glory." And really, what else do we need to say to explain what Advent is all about? In this final week of Advent, in one of those few years where we actually get a full week for the final week of Advent, it's good to ponder that verse. In fact, our first and second readings today are quite wonderful in helping us meditate on the two halves of this verse. For the first half, we have Ahaz in the first reading, or however you say that guy's name, right? Ahaz, he was a fairly lousy king of Jerusalem. Every once in a while, he would decide to do the right thing. Usually, it was when it suited him. And so the prophet Isaiah spent a lot of his time trying to get Ahaz to accept the Lord, to get Ahaz to let the Lord enter the promised land where he belonged. And so in our first reading today, we have Ahaz feigning holiness, saying, "I will not tempt the Lord. I am much too good for that. I will not ask for a sign." But he's doing it in a last desperate attempt to keep the Lord out, because he knows something about what happens when God comes, when you let him in, something that a lot of us forget. When the Lord comes, he changes things. You can't live the same when the Lord is with you, because when God is present, he makes us holy. And being holy is really, really hard. In fact, it gets even harder when we become holy, because the world hates that. It makes life harder for us when we're holy, because the ruler of this passing world is the devil, and he does not want us to be united with the Lord. He does not want us to be holy, so he makes it harder. And so Ahaz is sitting there saying, "No, I won't tempt the Lord." And you got to imagine what Isaiah was thinking at this point. He says, "Really, it's not enough for you to weary your people. Now you're going to weary your God." But I think a modern dynamic translation of this would have looked a little more like, "Are you serious, dude? Come on right now." So Isaiah tells Ahaz, "The Lord is coming whether you like it or not. And so you had better get yourself ready." In the second reading, we have St. Paul writing to the Romans, and he speaks of this Christ who is a descendant of David, which means that he is the true and rightful heir to that throne of Israel, the same throne that Ahaz inhabited so poorly. But not only is Christ actually a worthy heir to the throne in the earthly sense, he's also the Son of God, and so he may be worshiped worthily. And in his glory, he conquered death and sin and suffering while he was on the cross. And then he was glorified by the fact that he rose from the dead. And then, on top of all that, he invited each and every one of us to join in that eternal life. He is the King of glory, and he invited us to share that same glory. And we see those two halves of the verse joined in today's gospel, which begins with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who once hovered over that formlessness and void before creation began, that same Holy Spirit who breathed life into our forefather, Adam, at the beginning of the human race. In the gospel today, the Holy Spirit has breathed something new into Mary and given her a gift that the world had never seen before. The Holy Spirit breathed into her the new life of the human race, a new life that would be unspoiled by sin, that would, in fact, conquer sin. This gift was waiting to be born and to come into this world. This life living in Mary was heralded by St. John the Baptist when he cried out, "Make straight the way of the Lord, so that we might be ready to let the Lord enter the world and into our hearts." But in our gospel, there is one who is fearful of allowing the Lord to enter, one who we'd never expect. It was Saint Joseph who was to be his foster father. Now, most of us probably think that Saint Joseph decided to divorce Mary quietly because he doubted her faithfulness, or perhaps he was unwilling to foster a child who was not his. But for over 1,000 years, this thought was never in the church's mind. The only explanation for this scenario in the gospel that sounds kind of crazy that we find in the fathers in the early tradition of our church is that Saint Joseph knew exactly who this child was because he trusted Mary. And when she told him what happened, he would have believed her. After all, this is the woman who was going to be his wife. And so he recognized that this child was the Messiah, that this child was that King of glory, that this child was a descendant of David who would rule on the throne of Judah forever, that this child was going to be so much. And so Saint Joseph did not believe himself worthy to be the foster father of this child. He probably had some idea of how challenging his life was about to become when the Lord was in such close proximity to him every day. He was a righteous man. He knew what living with God should look like. He knew it would be hard. But then we hear that Saint Joseph is visited by an angel, and the angel does nothing to dispel the glory of who this child is. In fact, the angel kind of doubles down and said, yeah, this is the child who's going to save the world from sin. This is God. He is Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. But the angel gives Joseph one instruction, one simple instruction, the one thing his heart needed to hear. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. That is, do not be afraid to let the Lord enter, because he is the King of glory. Brothers and sisters, let's take that advice for ourselves too. Let's not be afraid to repent and prepare that place in our own hearts for Jesus to enter. When we allow the Lord into our hearts, he's going to shake up our lives. They won't be comfortable. But it's okay, because holiness is hard. And our Lord is preparing us for something greater. He's preparing us to join him forever in that glory of eternal life. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, it's a tradition in our diocese to hear about the Christmas call to sharing that happens on Christmas Day, and I know better than to mess with traditions around here, right? I want to thank all of you who have been so generous in the past in giving to the Christmas call to sharing, which helps to fund the education of our seminarians. If you want to know what a seminarian looks like, there's one right there. Luke, he's back from school, finally. And it also helps to pay and care for our retired priests. You know, each one of us needs priests to help us prepare our hearts so that we can receive the Lord. Priests hear our confessions and they impart God's forgiveness and absolution on us. Priests baptize our kids and bring them into the family of God and breathe that new life into them. Priests witness our marriages, and they bless new families just as they are beginning. Priests accompany us through those painful moments when we bury those we love. But most of all, priests bring us the Eucharist, where the Lord enters into us and converts our hearts to be closer to God and unites us with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ here on earth and in heaven above. So please consider making a gift to that Christmas call to sharing this year, in addition to your usual weekly tithe next week, so that our diocese can continue to form new priests and care for the retired priests who've cared so much for our souls. But above all, please remember during this last week of Advent to let the Lord enter your heart and to prepare a place, for he is the King of glory.